So how much money have you made to date with your podcast, man?
So far from podcasting, I have made about...
What are the top one or two things you're doing today to grow your podcast?
So there's three things today that I see working best to grow a show. Number one,
has anything changed in 2024 that you're excited about or really, really nervous about when it comes to content creation and podcasting?
So there's one thing that I'm both extremely excited and extremely nervous about in podcasting, and that is, you can probably guess it,
welcome to How to Get Your First 100,000 Podcast Listeners, where we talk about the very granular how-to tactics as well as the big picture thinking you need to grow and multiply your listener base. My name is Luis Diaz. Let's dive in.
Kevin, what's going on, dude? Last time we spoke, we were in a coffee shop in Miami, in a Portuguese coffee shop, which was awesome. But good to see you again, man.
Dude, it's always a pleasure. So excited to be back.
Thanks, man. Yeah, I was fortunate enough to be on your show, and that was such a cool experience. People still hit me up about that episode today. So that was a banger, and we will link that episode below. But you've also been on my show about a year or so ago, maybe even more than that. Two years. And a lot has changed since then, and I've got a slew of questions here that I'm going to drill you with, because I know I listen to your podcast as a listener. I know a lot of my friends do, and even people I talk to in the industry, they're like, that guy Kevin Sharp, you're doing something right, man. But to kick things off, this show is really morphing for me into monetization, like how people can make money, or specifically business owners can make money with podcasting. So I want to start there, and then we're going to get into some of the more advanced growth strategies that you teach and that you're pretty famous for nowadays. So talk to me about a little bit about your journey. You've had multiple podcasts. If you can think of one thing that's been like maybe the single most profitable thing or strategy you've used for podcasting, I'll start there just to keep it really tight and structured for the listeners. What's the single biggest like monetization strategy that's been effective for you?
Yeah, 100%. So first of all, thank you for the kind words. And it's always wild to hear that people, our peers, listen to the show. That's such high praise. I admire everybody in the industry so much. So that's awesome. Okay, so you're absolutely right. I've had two shows in my career as a podcaster. Started in 2018. My first show was about my hometown of Philadelphia. I did that show for about a year and a half, maybe 2 years. In that time period, the show, I generated about 120K-ish in monetization from that show. And then in 2020, I launched Grow the Show, which is what I do now. And that business has generated around $2.5 million over the past 4 years, mainly through the podcast as well. So generated, you know, it's significant, very, very extremely lucky and grateful. But I've monetized the podcast in pretty much most of the ways that you can think of. And in doing so that way, and doing it that way, right? I had one show as an entertainment show, one show as a business show. One show was, you know, monetized with like merch and sponsorships and events and everything. My second show is monetized through a business. And I've also worked directly with more than 400 podcasters within my programs and helped them monetize their shows. And so all of this experience over the past 6 years, I've literally just nothing but live and breathe podcast growth and monetization. What I found is that there's really only one way to monetize a podcast. Only one. And when I say that, people tend to be like, what do you mean? There's a million ways to monetize a podcast. You just told me 8 different ways that you monetize it. And I say, yes, that is true. But let me ask you this. This is the question I usually ask a podcaster. At what point, because they ask me, how do I monetize my podcast? And I say, terrible question. Why? Well, it's really difficult to answer, because at what moment is your podcast monetized, right? When do you go from being, my podcast is not monetized, and then cha-ching, my podcast is monetized? And what do you think most people say?
For when I get a sponsor, that's usually the thing I get.
100%. And when I get a sponsor, that's what everybody thinks. And the other thing that people say is, well, when I make money, when I get paid, right? And I say, who's paying you, right? So who is the person that is paying you when your show is monetized? Then most people say, my sponsors. And I'm like, okay, who's paying them, right?
Yeah.
What would you say to that?
When a listener that you have buys their stuff, then they usually have the money to buy, to pay you, right?
Exactly. Right. So you probably get where I'm going with this. The one way to monetize your show that everybody thinks of is sponsorships. Much bigger way, in my opinion, to monetize your show, as you can tell just by the two different revenue numbers that I gave you before, 120K versus 2.5 million, is by selling something to your audience directly. But here's the key. Both of those scenarios your listeners are buying something in both of those scenarios. And so when I say there's literally only one way to monetize a podcast, that way is this: convert your listeners to customers of something, right? Of something. It could be your business. It could be your products, your services, your offers, or it could be someone else's business, AKA your sponsor's business. But when you have a sponsor, all they're doing is paying you in advance for your listeners to become their customers. And by the way, if they do that and none of your listeners become their customers, they're going to stop paying you in advance for that, right? But literally all of my 6 years of intense work, working to grow and monetize podcasts as quickly and as effectively as possible, it's come to that conclusion that literally the only way to monetize a show is by selling something to your listeners, by getting your listeners to buy something. And what I found is that the way that you make the most money and the way that you generate the most revenue and cash from your show is selling them something directly.
So selling, you say directly, you mean like selling them your products, or does it have to be your products and services when you say directly?
Yeah. So it's like, it's, yes, I mean your products and services. I mean something that you make and sell them, you fulfill on. And actually my first show, Philly Who, that was the name of the Philly show, there was a degree of that. And I did have some sponsors, but the bulk of the revenue that I got from that show came from selling merchandise, a Patreon, and doing live events, live in-person events that people would pay $40 to attend. All three of those is getting my listeners to buy stuff that I made them. And yes, I had a few sponsors. Like, sponsorship is actually easier when you have a local show. So of course I had some sponsors, but most of even that revenue came from selling stuff directly to my listeners. So that is the key. If you have a podcast, you want to maximize the ROI from that podcast, it's got to be by learning how to get your listeners to buy something, ideally that you make and sell to them. Or if you're a creator and you're not interested in, you know, having a back-end business and making and selling products, sure, you can get affiliate deals, you can get sponsors, you can sell them other businesses' stuff. But my gosh, there's just so much more money in selling stuff directly to your listeners for a number of reasons.
I love it. And the thing is, too, it's like both, I would say, are, I mean, you can tell me if I'm wrong here, both are hard endeavors. Like, getting people to listen to this and then go and buy something that is in alignment or help, that's going to help them, take some convincing. It takes being good at creating content. So I want to dive into that a little bit. And then I have four other questions that I want to leave time for. But what do you find in content that moves the needle? Or what kind of content? Like, there's probably some characteristics that are similar or prevalent that I think some people miss the mark on, and that's why their shows never get monetized, at least directly.
100%. And so, yeah, if we're speaking direct monetization, which means your listeners become your customers, they buy the stuff that you sell. Number one, what most podcasters do and what most business owners do when they launch a podcast is they monkey see, monkey do all the other podcasts that they see. And I did the same thing when I first started out, right? I launched a show that was just, I'm going to interview other experts and other impressive people in the space. And so, and you know, when you're launching a podcast for the first time, it makes sense to do it that way because you look around and virtually every podcast under the sun is 45-minute interviews with experts and their success stories and blah, 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 right? There's a million of those. So you're just like, well, I'm going to do that. But here's the problem with that. When you do it that way, number one, those episodes take a lot of time and energy to make because you got to find guests, pitch them, book them. Everybody always reschedules podcast interviews all the time. So it's going to hold time on your calendar. It's going to be rescheduled. Then you got to research them, interview them, edit the interview down. You're relying on them to be really good, right? Be captivating, tell great stories, like those types of things. And then you got to release the episode and convince your whole audience that they should listen to this other person that you had on the show. That's a lot of work and it's frustrating. It takes a lot of time. It takes a lot of energy. But there's another way that you can do it that is starting to become more popular and more prevalent. And this way takes way less time. Number one, it's way easier to make. Number two, and number three, the most important part, those episodes actually get your listeners to want to buy from you more. When you feature guests on your show, your listeners are developing know, like, and trust factor with them. They're your guests, those people, right? But when you do it, when you add in solo episodes, that's the big secret, solo episodes where you are turning on the microphone and you're just sharing knowledge, sharing stories, sharing your insight with your audience directly. Number one, your know, like, trust factor goes through the roof, right? Because people are just spending all this time listening to what you have to say. Number two, you are able to actually handle objections in that content, right? You can make content that handles objections as to why now is not the right time, or why, you know, they should or shouldn't, you know, work with you further. And again, I can't overstate how much more efficient they are. It is to make those episodes. And what I found is that for me, people don't buy my stuff from my guest episodes. Now, I'm not saying that you should never do guest episodes. I still do half of my podcast episodes are with guests because there's a lot of benefits to it. You know, you build your network, you do get to grow a little, like there's a lot of good stuff that comes from guest shows, but it's my solo episodes that hands down drive the most sales. When I see applications to my programs come in and they come in from podcast episodes, I almost never see applications come in from guest episodes of my show. I see people heard a solo episode where I dropped some value. I taught them something. I shared a story. And they're like, oh my gosh, this guy is really smart. I want to work with him.
Yeah. I love it. So, you know, it's funny. So in full transparency and hilariousness of this episode, we actually had to reschedule this interview a little bit.
That was my fault though.
It was pretty easy. So, but yeah, it's so funny. So you're right about that.
Case in point, the guests always ask to reschedule. I did the same damn thing to you.
Last week, right? Like, hey, we rescheduled it.
I'm like, dude, we got to move this.
but yeah. So I love that adage because it's just a very, very prevalent thing. It's so funny. I did a reel about this about 2 years ago, and I got so much shade about it. Like, people will call me like, you don't know what you're talking about. Like, look at Rogan. And I was like, Rogan's an entrepreneur, but he monetizes his show a completely different way. And he has to take shares in companies, and that's how he does it. So, you know, it's just hilarious because you're right. And I just remember that reel getting so much like flack or in the comments.
Tons of it.
I love it. So yeah, I like the haters, man. Keep them coming, guys. But I appreciate that notion because I found the same thing. And even I will slow up, like with your interviews, with your podcast, I listen to your solos more than I listen to your interviews. Because I either know most people or I'm like, I haven't heard of them, and I probably haven't heard of them for a good reason. So it's like, I listen to your solos because I know I can trust you. So that makes a lot of sense. Now, I want to pivot a little bit here into advanced growth strategies. You have been very well known for helping people grow their podcast through organic content, which is, in my view, very hard because I'm definitely not as talented, nor am I probably the patient with it. But I want to talk about that for a second because I look to you as one of probably the brightest growth strategists for podcasting in the world. Has it changed much in the past 2, 3, 4 years versus in the past? And what's working right now?
Yeah, dude. Well, high praise, man. That means the world coming from you. So thanks for saying that. It's changed a ton. And what I've learned is that, much to my dismay, it's always changing.
Finally
crack the code, you know, figure out what's working and then share it with everybody. And then eventually it stops working. But that's because I shared it with everybody, right? And so, you know, the growth tactics that work the best tend to be the ones that not everybody is doing. So what I can say is that an issue that a lot of podcasters who are struggling with growth today face, and they don't know this, is that their show is not growing because they are trying to use growth tactics that worked in 2018, 2019, even 2020. That was when it really became popular to launch a podcast. 2018, 19, 20 is when the first, you know, like it really started to hit the mainstream. And basically, like, the strategies that worked then kind of got codified into the regular, you know, what's the word? The best practices, right? The conventional wisdom on how to grow a podcast, right? But then very quickly, it stopped working. And the podcasters that you see using those tactics today have no growth. But the problem is you don't know that. You just see tons of podcasters doing this thing to grow their show. And so you're like, oh, I'll just do what they do. But they also have no growth. So it would be good to emulate them. So your question is, okay, well, what's actually working today? What's not working is audiograms. What's not working is posting a, you know, image of your guest's corporate headshot and, you know, just like, hey, I featured Dr. So-and-so today on the show. I'm really looking forward to sharing this conversation with you. Link in bio. Go check it out now. There's a reason why those posts have no likes and no comments. A huge reason why. What's also true is that, you know, 2018 was when Instagram added the ability to post a video, which we can't even imagine right now, right? But back in 2018, all there was images, right? So there was a lot of image, like, you know, oh, new episode now, go watch it. And that kind of worked in 2018. What works now is three things. Number one is getting featured on a podcast that is ideally 5 to 10x your show's size, a show that's much bigger. Now, if you want, we can talk about podcast guesting a little bit, or do you want me to move on to the second one?
Let's go to the second one. We'll maybe touch it again
sure.
later.
But okay,
yeah,
cool.
Let's go to the second one.
So podcast guesting number one. Number two is organic social media content. So learning how to publish social media content from your podcast that gets organic reach. So we can talk about how to actually do that. There's a key mistake that folks make. And then the third one is, you know, the one that everybody's talking about, YouTube, which I do not believe that every podcaster needs to be on YouTube, but you cannot deny the growth power that is there.
Yeah. All right. I'm gonna pick YouTube selfishly. So if you want to listen to the other two, go follow Kevin's show. He'll probably talk about it there. But let's dive into YouTube for a second. I shared the other day that like almost every business owner should have a video podcast. If you do podcasting, you should do a video. If you do a show like one of my favorite shows is History Daily, they don't need a video version. They have good enough sound design and editing and voiceover that like you don't need it. But explain to me, I want to hear your viewpoint on YouTube and why it's so powerful and how can we leverage it?
So I would respectfully disagree with the statement that every business podcaster should be on YouTube. I would say every business podcaster could be on YouTube. I don't think it's a requirement to grow. There are absolutely business shows that grow and are growing and have grown without having a YouTube version of their show.
I want to see some.
Oh, sure. No question.
Or if you know them, say them now. Yeah. I like arguments.
Yeah.
So I can talk
about like, I'm pretty sure Brian Lubin's not on YouTube. I'm not really sure, but like his show, I mean, he's somebody who he went through my program. He joined in 2021 and I worked with, you know, he's been one of my best case studies. His Instagram audience is up to like 250K. I know his podcast gets, I mean, either 100,000 a month or something like that. He just gets a crazy amount of downloads from his show. He's you know, used the show as a springboard to launch a 7-figure business. And, you know, he's doing like remote, crazy, destination exotic masterminds. He's doing insane stuff. He's been featured on huge shows. Like, he's far surpassed what I have achieved, which is really awesome. And he hasn't been on YouTube the whole time. But the difference is this. Here's what you want to understand. An audio podcast alone, just if all you do is put out an audio show, you're not going to get the reach that you want, because audio is this weird little thing where it's very, very difficult to get somebody who listens to just audio on a regular basis to tune into your show. It's hard. It's hard to do that. And the way that you get people to tune into your audio show is by showing up elsewhere. And a lot of people, like I said this on social media last week, and oh my gosh, I've never gotten so much hate on something. But that, I think that's because a lot of people don't want this to be true. But the reality is that if all you do is put out an audio episode, sure, there are some examples of people who were so good, like they put out an audio episode that is so freaking good that it gets word of mouth and growth. But we don't want to rely on that, right? We don't want to rely on that alone. So I don't agree that you have to be on YouTube, but let's talk a little bit about why it's so powerful. Is that where you want to go?
Definitely. Yeah.
Yeah. So the thing about YouTube is that YouTube is literally everything in one. And it's funny because YouTube's been around for so long. You know, the social media platforms have come and gone, like, you know, different, like there was newsletters is now big, but that's starting to peak a little bit. There was blogs back in the day. Podcasting kind of had its heyday of popularity in like 2020. But YouTube has just been cranking out for 15 years. And YouTube is everything in one. It has, number one, the ability to do long form content, right? So to do that, you need to either be on YouTube or publish audio podcast episodes. That's number one. Number two, it's got short form video. Number three, it's also got like social media. You can make posts on YouTube with like an image and text, just like an Instagram post, and it reaches your YouTube subscribers. So yeah, a lot of people don't know about that. It's massive. And then the other part, of course, is that it has an algorithm, right? It is the second largest search engine in the world, owned by the largest search engine in the world. And so if you put out YouTube videos that are good, unlike audio podcasts, if you put out an incredible audio podcast and you don't already have an audience, nobody's hearing it. I promise you. It just doesn't work that way because it's decentralized. But if you put out a really great YouTube video and you understand how to execute title, thumbnail, the first minute of the video, like you know how to make a good video, that video will get views, even if it's your first video ever. So that's why YouTube is so powerful. The drawback to it is that YouTube takes more investment to look good on video, right? You want to have the right camera set up. You got to understand lighting. You have to hold people's attention better because in audio, like people are kind of doing something else. If you lose their attention, they're not going to turn it off. You can get them back, right? They're still listening to the thing. But on YouTube, you lose someone's attention, pow, they're gone. You have to understand thumbnails. So there's a visual, you know, a photo element to it. And yeah, it just takes a little bit more time and skill to develop it. But if you can manage to do that, that some of the shows that we have seen absolutely explode to unbelievable heights have been those who leverage video.
Yep. Big time. I think it's funny, dude. I wish I would have went back in 2018 and started a video podcast. Just like put them both on YouTube and got better. Like the show would have been monetized by YouTube partner program by now. It would have been like super easy. Not easy, but it would have been like 3 or 4 or 5 years of like of growth just compounding, you know,
and
over time.
The other thing is that your best episodes that you published would still be getting views today. Whereas
exactly.
That's really not the case with podcast audio, right?
No.
Like they get buried into the ether. So that's another reason why YouTube's so powerful.
Exactly. Exactly. All right, cool. So I want to pivot here a little bit, and we talked about this previously, but what's changed? What are you nervous about in 2024 or excited about that just got you maybe sitting up at night thinking like, how is this crap going to change everything we do?
Yeah, so you can imagine what it is. It's what a lot of us are thinking about. I am both extremely nervous and extremely excited about AI. I'm not nervous about it, though, for the reason you might expect. I'm not nervous how everyone else is nervous, where they're like, oh, it's going to take over the world. Nobody's going to have any jobs, you know, blah, 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 whatever. I'm not worried about it. I mean, if that happens, there's nothing I can do about it. But what I am nervous about is the fact that creators and podcasters, and especially business owners who are looking to create content, think that AI is going to be something that can just do literally everything for them, right? Where they can just turn on a microphone or a camera, talk, and then AI can split it up into clips and post it and make social media content and all these different things. And as of now, that is not the case. And right now, if you go on social media, it is extremely obvious who is just using AI to generate their posts because they don't get any reach. They're super corny. Like, it just doesn't look good. Now, the reason why I'm excited about AI is because it absolutely, currently today, and even more so in the future, I'm sure, absolutely turbocharges the amount of quality content that a business owner or creator can put out. Here's the key difference. People are thinking about AI like it's a robot that can do everything for you. It's your social media robot. It's your YouTube robot. It's your, you know, repurposing robot. And they want to just give the robot the thing. The robot's going to put together the perfect post and with the perfect caption and the perfect editing, and it just put it out there and get you tons of reach without you having to do anything. At this moment in time, that's not true. Instead, AI is not like a robot. It is more like a robot suit. So think about like Tony Stark, right? There's a whole movie of Iron Man where I think Iron Man 2, this evil guy creates like 50 Iron Man robots, right? Where they're not, there's no people inside of it. It's literally truly a robot and they're all powerful. They're just like the super suit, and they get their butt kicked by two people wearing the Iron Man suit. So it's a robot suit that the person controls, but it gives that person unbelievable super senses and the ability to do things that that human alone would never be able to do, right? That is how you want to think about AI. It is not a robot that will do everything for you without you having to ever think about it. It is a super suit that you can put on that makes you better and faster and more effective in less of the time. That is the difference. So I'm nervous because people think they can just offload it all to AI. That is flooding the internet with crap, BS, boring content. But it's those who are leveraging it like a super suit. They're using AI to enhance the work that they do to create and put out content. Those are the people that are going to kick the butts of the people who just think AI is going to do everything for them.
Oh, dude, that's so funny. I love this. I'm a huge Avengers fan. And one of
nice.
My initiatives...
I was hoping.
One of my initiatives is like telling my team, like, we got to edit in more like Avengers clips, like all kinds of shit. So I love that. So we'll edit that in here. But
please,
yeah, that makes
put
a lot
it in
of
the reel.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense, dude. So it's funny. So my team has tested, we probably tested over 10 different show notes softwares, and none of them are good standalone. None of them can produce anything. Every single time you have to go back and edit clips, or they don't do the entire job, or they're just super difficult to kind of like get it to pump out something that is consistently good, even ChatGPT. So even with the transcripts, we've tried it all. We're still trying to refine that process. So like you're saying, there's no AI out there currently, maybe in the future, that does it standalone, very consistently at a high level. It's the Tony Stark effect where it's kind of like you put on the suit and then if your intuition and your marketing knowledge plus the AI's capabilities can create some really good stuff. But
yeah.
It's not going to
so
do it.
So let's do an example real quick and like think about, so to really take the analogy to the next step. So you got to know Iron Man for this, but like think of AI like your Jarvis, right? Like Iron Man's in the suit, and there's this voice that's this computer. It's an AI that's saying, like, watch out, sir. There's someone coming out. You know what I mean? Like, he's like, Jarvis, can you adjust my suit to blah, blah, blah. So, like, as an example, when I create social media content for my podcast episodes, what I'm not doing is saying, here's my transcript, ChatGPT. Write me 10 social media posts. The posts are garbage. They all use the word game changer. They have horrible hashtags. But instead, I say, ChatGPT, what are 10 things that I could tweet about that I mentioned, that was mentioned in this episode? And then it's like, oh, make a tweet about how AI is like Jarvis. Make a tweet about how you can make more money, how you made $2.5 million podcasting, selling stuff to customers. Make a tweet about how, like, 2018 was different. And I'm like, oh, I can tweet about that. Oh, and like, so in the matter of 25 minutes, ChatGPT says, hey, write these 10 tweets. I can rock and roll with those 10 tweets. But if I said, hey, AI, write me from scratch 10 tweets that you think are best, it's all trash. So that is just the slight difference, where if I thought of it like a robot and I'm like, write these tweets for me, it's garbage. But if I said, hey, AI, help me out here. What should I tweet about? And it gives me 10 incredible topics. Boom, yeah. Now I'm able to crank out 10 incredible tweets in literally 5 minutes.
So you're using it for prompting you to then be the creator and to create the specific post, but you're using it for the one-liners, right?
One-liners, okay. But also repurpose as well. Instead of like, hey, AI, like, make me a video clip. It's just, hey, what do you think are the 4 best clips from this episode? Well, you should probably use this. You should probably use that. I'm like, oh, wait, that's great. I go into Descript in literally 5 seconds, edit it all to make, because I understand how to make good short form video. ChatGPT just says, hey, you should consider this. I'm like, oh, you're totally right. I can make it in literally 5 minutes. And then boom, I've got actually good short form video that has my flavor to it. It's made by me, so it's unique, and it actually is effective.
Got it. That's a very nuanced thing that I don't think I didn't think like that's how you can use ChatGPT. I love it, dude. I have one more question for you, and then I want to share kind of where people can find more about you and what you're up to these days. I know things are shifting for you. Last question here. What's one weird niche in podcasting that you've seen people make money in? Maybe it's a client. So you can share, feel free to share like a previous client or something, or it's a weird niche that you see money being made. And if not, then all good. We can pass on this, but.
So I could say it's not a weird niche. I can say, like, I'll speak in the macro, and then I'll shout out one podcast that I worked with that did an incredible job. So I'll just start with that one. A couple years ago, I worked with a show that's called Hey Poopy Butthole. And it's literally about buttholes. It's a podcast about buttholes. And they say everything that goes out and goes in. Not my topic, right?
Yeah,
I'm like,
yeah.
I'm going to not touch that with a 10-foot pole.
Yeah.
But sure enough, they were crushing it. They made money. It was awesome. Super weird niche. But what I can say is that the niches that I see really crushing it right now in podcasting are medicine, so health and medicine shows, as well as real estate, different real estate topics and podcasts. Those shows seem to be the ones that really are getting the most bang for their buck.
Got it. Love it. I wouldn't have thought the real estate one. So that's interesting to hear your perspective there. And then the poopy butthole one, definitely didn't think about it. But it's a need, right? It's like if people have problems there.
It's
like, you know, I always say, I think the biggest thing I learned in podcasting, dude, is like just go where the market's hungriest. Like,
yeah,
business, marketing shows, there's a million people teaching you how to scale your freaking business. Like, you don't want to compete there. It's like, I don't. I'd rather just compete.
There's one example.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Yeah, 100%. There's one example real quick of a client that I worked with. She joined my program. She's a coach for perfectionists. She was a coach for perfectionists. She joined my program. We started growing her show. She started seeing 20% growth every single month. She was happy. Then using what we taught her, like the concepts and the foundations of how to grow a show, she launched a second show with her sister that was about their favorite fantasy book series. And they're like, we just want to do this. We are super obsessed with this fantasy book series. So we're going to record we're going to do deep dives into every chapter and record our thoughts and everything. And they launched that show. They called it Fantasy Fangirls. They launched it in September of 2023. As of today, 6 months later, coming up on 6 months, actually, they've gotten more than 2 million downloads. And they both have left their full-time jobs. She's not a perfectionist coach anymore. She's a full-time podcaster.
But
I say that to say, like, they tapped into a hungry market. There is this huge market of people who love this book series, and they were dying for deeper dives like they were providing. And, these people, like, Nicole and Lexi, they were, credit to them, they truly went all in. Like, they saw the opportunity. Once they started getting reach, really capitalized on it. But also, like, they just found this dying market, dying as in like starving for this type of content. And that group of people just took them to heights I've literally never even seen before.
There you go, folks. Hungry market. So, dude, tell me what you're up to these days. Where can people find more information about you? I know you've got a membership and a couple different things going on. So if people want to learn from you, learn how to grow their podcast from you, what's the best place to send them?
Yeah. So I'm really excited to announce that I'm going to be doing my very first remote summit. So after, 4 years of doing tons of one-on-one work, tons of, one-on-one calls, those types of things, I've never done a remote thing where you can actually interact with me. So it's going to be called Grow the Show Live. It's April 1st through the 5th. It's just going to be 2 hours a day, an hour of teaching and an hour of Q&A. It's for founders, CEOs, entrepreneurs looking to grow their business and their brand and their reach via their podcast. And so, yeah, that's super, super excited about that. Yeah, listeners of the show can go to growtheshowlive.com/Lewis, L-U-I-S, to grab tickets. And I'd love to see you there.
Cool, cool. growtheshowlive.com/Lewis. Love it. Yeah. Okay, cool. I didn't even know that domain was live. Love it. Cool. Appreciate it.
Yeah.
Dude, thank you so much for this. I was just thinking about all the little reels we're going to create from this podcast because there's so many good things you said. I'm like, awesome. Whoa, like this is going to be fun. So thank you for your time. Thank you for everything you're doing, man. Really appreciate it.
My pleasure, man. Be sure to collab. I'd love to share it. And thank you so much for having me on the show.
Appreciate it, man. Thank you.
Hey, Lewis again. I hope you enjoyed that episode and I hope you took something away that's going to help you on your journey towards launching a top ranking podcast that gets 100,000 listeners or more, ideally more. Now, remember, the focus of this show is to help business owners launch podcasts that add more profit to their bottom line and more authority and credibility to their name. That's what we're about here on this podcast. Now, if that's you and you want help launching your podcast and getting it to rank in the top 100 of your category or your money back, then maybe my team and I can help you. But hold on, I do not want you to take my word for it. We all know that you can go on YouTube and learn how to launch a podcast. You can hire a million different companies and freelancers and consultants to help you. So I'd rather you hear from other business owners just like you who have gone through our process, gotten the results, and love what they have built. Check it out.
Once I hired Lewis, he helped organize the entire show, the pre-launch, the contest. We had an epic contest, which was all Lewis is masterminding and his whole organization of how to do that. We had over 107,000 entries into this contest. If you're thinking about doing a podcast, don't think twice because the investment is worth tenfold, not two or threefold, tenfold for what you invest with Lewis.
Only a matter of a few weeks, the podcast got launched. They also supported me through the entire launching process, how to communicate with my audience to maximize the results. And when it did launch within a few days, we made it to the top 50 in two different countries.
We get about 25,000 downloads a month, and the podcast has literally completely changed my business. My podcast right now has 10x my business, and that's not an exaggeration. When I started working with Lewis, I was making about 40K a month. Right now, my business is making $400,000 a month, and I credit a lot of that to the podcast. And then when they listen to one episode of the podcast, they'll listen to another episode of the podcast, and then that cold lead will turn into a warm lead that turns into a hot lead that becomes my customer. Right now, I have 775 active clients, and a lot of those people found us because of the podcast. Luis Diaz is the man. He knows exactly what he's talking about when it comes to starting a podcast. He knows exactly what he's talking about in terms of getting your podcast to 100,000 downloads. Because right now my podcast has over 225,000 downloads and it's been about a year and 7 months.
I didn't just want to do a podcast. I wanted to do it the right way. We are at number 2 in the parenting category of Apple Podcasts the week that we launched. We're now hanging tight in the top 25. Could not have done any of this without your assistance, Luis.
Literally, I keep asking Lewis, like, how can I give you more money? Like, what else can we do together? Because literally working with you has changed my life. It's changed my podcast. It's bigger than that. It's changed my business. Lewis Diaz, badass podcast growth expert.